Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see those of you that are able to come out today. Our numbers are a little bit down. I'm sure summer vacations are in full swing. And, of course, a special day for the Lemansky family as Phil and Kara are getting married today over in Fond du Lac. And so we'll pray for them. And hopefully that will be just a great, great time. But we're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship this morning. We've got Tim and Katie Reed here, and Earl will tell us a little bit more about them when he comes up to lead our singing this morning, so I won't say too much, but they were Northland Baptist Bible College students, and so they sat under the teaching of Dr. Lemansky, and I told Tim any stories he wants to tell. It's open game today, so we'd be happy to hear any of those. In light of the wedding, this is the third Sunday evening. We would normally have an evening service, but we do not have an evening service tonight. So just Sunday school and this service and Sunday school, and that's it for today. Men, couple reminders coming up this week is your monthly activities. Tuesday's the men's breakfast, 8:30 in the morning at the family restaurant in Sheboygan, and Tuesday night, 6 o'clock here at church is the witnessing support group. Also want to remind members that our quarterly meeting is coming up next Sunday, and we're planning on having the normal services, Sunday school, a potluck, followed by the quarterly meeting. So that is the plan as it stands right now. But just remember that next week we have our quarterly meeting. Ladies, there's some information for you back in the information center. There is some sign-ups for some ladies' activities concerning morning muffins and evening desserts. So both of those sound really good. I think the men should do that, but we only have breakfast once a month. But anyway, the sign-ups are back in the corner there. You can sign up for one or both, I guess. Teens, for those of you that are here this morning, there is a teen activity coming up on July 30th, Friday, July 30th. It'll be at Brian and Leah Lindbergh's home from 5:30 to 10:30. So if you need to get off work, be a good time to do that now and have that day free so you can enjoy some fun with your fellow, with your friends and teens. There are a couple of baptismal services that are coming up. We weren't able to get everybody on the same schedule, but we will be having the first baptismal service on August 1st, right after our Sunday school time, and we'll go out to the Falls Aquatic Center. And then also September 5th will be another one that we will have during Sunday school time, followed by early flock group gathering at the park is what we're hoping for. So a couple upcoming baptismal services, if you would like to get baptized. There's still time to talk to Pastor Kurt about that. Lastly, for announcements, the downstairs remodeling project is going pretty well, and I understand that this Thursday is the final inspection for that. And so if all goes as planned, after Thursday, then we'll need a crew to come and clean up for sure the floor, because the floor is pretty bad. And then straighten up the Sunday school rooms and things like that. But I think there'll be more information coming out this week. But it looks like they should be done on Thursday. So that's a great thing. So Sunday school today for the kids is still outside. Yes. No. I cannot hear you. Oh, a ladies' meeting this Thursday. Oh, for the game night? Yeah, I don't think game night's going to work. Is anybody planning on coming to game night? Okay. Yeah, originally we did have a game night scheduled for this Thursday. That is not going to work because the downstairs is not yet ready for that. All right, as we turn our attention to prayer this morning, I do want to mention a couple of things that our dear sister Bonnie Bellin did pass away this week. She was fighting an infection and recovering in the nursing home, but she went to be with the Lord Thursday morning. And the funeral service will be this coming Tuesday, at church. A visitation will start at 10 a.m. The service will be at 11, and the committal is at 12:30, followed by a luncheon at Alan Al's. So pray for Roger. They've been together for I don't know how many years, a great many years, and probably the last 5-6 years or so has been increasingly difficult, but she is having no difficulties now. But anybody who has lost somebody knows that the separation is still, it's a bittersweet time. So we'll pray especially for Roger and also Bonnie's extended family. Keep them in mind. Also, Noah Mason had an accident at work where he fell off a ladder. Some slippery things went on there, but he busted up his chin and needed some stitches and also broke his thumb in 3 places. And so he's going to have surgery on his thumb tomorrow. We don't know exactly what time yet, but we'll pray for Noah as that is, he'll need some healing and God's help in that. Our family of the week today is Mike and Sonia Smith, and it's so good to see them here this morning. They've gone through some difficulties as well with the loss of Sonia's mother, and so we will continue to pray for them. They also have expressed some other prayer requests that we'll communicate, but they do want to say thank you for all of the love and support that you've shown them in the past a couple weeks during the time with her mom, and so they're very appreciative for all the love they felt from Emmanuel Bible Church. So thank you for that. We'll pray for them. Our missionary of the week is Isaac and Hannah Cummings, and they are now stateside. They got back about July 3rd after 32 hours of travel. So if you can imagine, most of us that are working work a 40-hour week, so 4 days of 8 hours. Imagine just traveling for all that time. That's amazing. But they are back in the States. They will be doing a lot of traveling, and we hope to see them here at Emmanuel Bible Church in September. So that'll be exciting. But we'll pray for them. And then lastly, our persecuted saint of the week are the Christian students that were kidnapped in Nigeria. And I will just read you the account that we've got from the Voice of the Martyrs. Imagine this scene happening. Shooting wildly, armed assassins breached the walls of Bethel Baptist High School near Kanduwa State Capitol in the early morning of July 5th. More than 100 and possibly as many as 164 students from the school are missing after being kidnapped by militants as part of a coordinated attack. The suspected militants overcame security guards and abducted students at gunpoint. A few of the students fortunately managed to escape, and at last resort, governing officials have not yet received any contact from the kidnappers. Distraught parents gathered at the school awaiting news, collecting the remaining belongings of their children, discarded sandals and other personal items that had been left behind. So we'll pray for the welfare of the students and for the return to their families. Let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father, we bow before your throne this morning with hearts that are filled with joy for some situations that are occurring, Lord. We are so thankful for Pastor Lemansky, for Phil and Kira today to be wed. And Lord, we pray that you would bless their wedding and that it would just be an enjoyable time for all that are involved. Father, thank you that they can enjoy this precious, precious time, Lord, as their firstborn gets married. Father, we pray for those that are hurting this morning. We think of our dear brother Roger, Lord, who has lost his wife of many, many years, Bonnie. Father, we thank you so much that she is with you. She is no longer suffering. And Father, we know that Roger will be going through a long process of adjustment without his beloved wife. And We do pray for his heart this morning, Lord. May you flood him with the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Father, as the funeral is upcoming on Tuesday, we just pray for all of the details to fall into place, Lord. And thank you that we can remember this dear sister, Lord. Father, we pray for Noah Mason this morning, Lord, and for the injury that he sustained at work. Lord, we do pray that you place his healing hand, your healing hand upon him, Lord, and help him to recover whatever has happened on his chin, Lord, that required stitches. And Father, for the surgery that will take place tomorrow, we just pray that everything would go according to your perfect plan. Father, we trust you as the great physician to intervene on Noah's behalf. Lord, we thank you for our family of the week, for Mike and Sonia Smith, Lord, and Father, for the continued hand of protection upon this family, Lord. We thank you for bringing them through the time of difficulty, Lord, with Sonia's mom passing on, Lord. We thank you that she knew you as Lord and Savior, and so she is with you as well. It is a great comfort, Lord. But, Father, we know that being away and having to bury your mom is a tough thing. So we pray that you continue to give them peace, Lord, and help them to transition during this time. Father, as they have asked for prayer in some areas here, we do pray for communication in their marriage, Lord, something that we can all work together on as couples. And Father, we pray for their three oldest ones that are over 18 and now making decisions on their own. Lord, we pray that they would seek you first of all, Lord, as they make these decisions and put you first. Father, may they love you with all of their heart and soul and mind. Lord, we pray for Mike's two daughters in Iowa as they are living with their grandparents now and life is a little topsy-turvy. But we just pray, Father, that you will work everything out according to your plan with that situation, Lord. And we just pray for them. And lastly, the four boys at home, we just pray for the children that are at home, Lord, that they would be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and Father, that they would grow to love you with all of their heart and soul and mind. And Father, we just look forward to how you're going to grow these children, Lord, and bring them into a close relationship with you if they don't already know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for our missionary of the week, for Isaac and Hannah Cummings. And Lord, we thank you that you brought them safely back home after their after their time of ministry in their field, Lord. And Father, they've gone through many situations too, especially the 32 hours of traveling. Even on the way to the airport, their van died, and they had to have that towed and they had to take taxis to the airport. So there were so many things that were going on, Lord. But we're thankful, Father, that they were able to have a baptismal service before they had left. And there were several that came to be baptized, Lord. Just pray for those eight individuals that were baptized, that they would continue to grow, Lord, in the grace and knowledge of you. And Father, that you would use them mightily to reach others, Lord, as well. So, Father, as the Isaac and Hannah and family will be doing a lot of traveling, Lord, and traveling with small children is always a challenge. So we do pray, Father, that would go smoothly as they visit the various churches that have supported them over the years. And, Lord, we do look forward to seeing them in September here at Emmanuel Bible Church. Father, we do pray for the persecuted saints, Lord. Our hearts and minds are deeply distressed, Father, but we know that this is part of your purpose and plan. Father, it's difficult for us to imagine here in America in relative safety, Lord. I know there's been some shootings in schools and things, but it's far and few between. But Father, for such a large group of students to be taken out of their high school, Lord, and away from their families, no word yet. Father, we pray that, number one, the children will be safe, Father. They will be a witness for you. There will be a voice for you, Lord. They will love their captors. in the spirit of wanting them to come to Jesus, to know them as Lord and Savior as well. Father, we pray that your name would be glorified, that the word would indeed spread. And Father, we pray that whatever your plan and purpose in this, Lord, that it would be accomplished. So, Father, this morning, we just commit our service time to you. We look forward to hearing from Brother Tim and his ministry, Lord. And we just thank you that we can be here this morning and raise these songs to you and sing praises to your name. Father, we do love you, and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've always felt that no one can tell something about themselves better than they. So I'm not going to really say anything about Tim. I'm going to let him tell about himself and his relationship to pastor and etc. I did want to need to mention this, though, that before the sermon, Tim is going to be sharing with us, and it's going to be some sensitive material. So only for those who are watching us by live stream will that be stopped. And then once Tim begins to share the word, you will be brought back in on our live stream. Just so you don't think, well, what happened now? And you email Jason and say, hey, it went dead. Well, it's going dead for a reason, and that's the reason. Just a warning, just to let you know, keep you informed. Oh, yes. We will be taking a love offering this morning for Tim and his family. So, let's see. Well, it's after the message. Yeah, we'll be taking a love offering for the Reeds. Okay, let's sing by faith. Let's stand and sing together.
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those he found to tenderness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power of the promise in the ground. Stand as children of the promise. We will fill our eyes on him, our souls rejoice, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith, the promise of the day, when they long in the blessing, the church was called to go in the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will lift our eyes on him, our souls reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. But by faith the mountains shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall be great. For we know in Christ things are possible for all who call upon him.
seem a little confused. This is the problem. I'm trying to read off that monitor in the back. Anyhow, you understand. My hope is in the Lord. Number 540 in the hymnals. Otherwise, you can sing off the monitor.
My hope is in the Lord.
Nations, number 439, if you prefer singing out of the hymnal. 439, Song for the Nations.
May we be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to the people of the earth, till the whole world see the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us. May we bring a word of hope to the nations, a word of light to the people of the earth, till the whole world knows their salvation through your name. May your mercy flow through us. May we be a healing balm to the nations, a healing balm to the people of the earth, till the whole world knows the power of your name. May your healing flow through us. May we sing a song of joy to the nations, a song to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world rings with the praises of your name. May your song be sung through us. May your kingdom come to the nations, your will be done in the people of the earth, till the whole world knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. May your kingdom come on earth.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, someday we are going to be in your presence forever and your kingdom will become. Until that day, Father, we know that we have the joy and the privilege of serving you and being lights in the world, in a dark world that knows not Christ. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the gifts that you've given to us and we are going to give back to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is in Genesis chapter 19, verses 23 through 38. And if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley, and he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. So he lived in a cave with his two daughters, and the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day.
We've a story to tell to the nations. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nation that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above has sent us His Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow have trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. And the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom, love and light. Thank you. You may be seated. Tim?
Somebody wrote that. Somebody took time to put pen to paper and write that story. I think they were capturing, they were illustrating for us a very morbid truth about humans. We are fragile, not just physically. We are fragile physically, right? But we are fragile according to our heart, our soul. True story that I heard relayed to me through another speaker. A pastor friend of mine told me this story about a young boy in this small town. The bus would come by and pick up these kids every day for school. And the bus driver would always check on this boy. He was quiet. He would never talk. He was about 8 or 9 years old. He never talked. He just came from, they knew, a broken family, a rough background. One day, he got on the bus, the door opened, and he fell over. And they took him to the hospital, and he had passed away. And when they found out why, they did an autopsy on him. They said, basically, he died of a broken heart. This boy thought nobody loved him, and so he passed away of a broken heart. Again, a reminder that we as humans, we can be pretty confident in ourselves, but even a broken heart can destroy us. So in our field of service, as I was teaching English, I would often teach freshmen. And the freshmen would come in with these big eyes, like, you know, deer in headlights eyes, but full of excitement, right? Full of zeal for life. They've been told all their life that high school is like a prison and college is going to be full of freedom. You're going to be able to do what you want. You can play. You've got free time. So they work them hard in high school, and they say, don't worry, college is the promised land. You'll be free, no responsibilities, very little responsibilities. And then I get to watch them grow up from freshman to sophomore, and that light kind of goes out as they realize they've been lied to their whole life. And college is not easy. It's just another added responsibility. And then getting a job will be another added responsibility. And it's just burdensome. And unfortunately, I get to see that light go out as I see these freshmen full of life and excitement. And usually by junior year, they're a little more jaded. I'll never forget sitting down with some of my students. And I asked them to share heart to heart because he looked off. He looked troubled. And I said, what's going on? And he shared the story, and his eyes looked like they were just glazed over, like he had just lost the purpose of studying and going to school. And he told the story of how the school, the university, had promised this group of students some kind of special internship, some kind of special opportunity. And then it turned out that they had been lying to them the whole time, just so that they could get these students to apply for their own financial gain. Right? And so his school had been lying to him. And he asked me, he said, if they were lying about that, what else are they lying about? Am I even going to get a diploma? What good is my diploma going to be? And so you could see the discouragement. These stories remind us that it's quite possible for us. None of us are invincible. We can lose heart. And then if we would look at some of our own stories in America, in the late 90s, the entire nation's attention was arrested when two young men in Columbine, Colorado, took guns to their school and killed many of their classmates and teachers. And as the details came out, it was found out this came from a broken, troubled heart. Somebody who had lost all hope. Two boys who felt isolated and bullied and attacked. And they felt their only recourse was something horrible and tragic. So all of these stories should remind us we can lose heart, and there can be dire consequences if we do. It may not be that tragic, but something happens when we lose heart. So, again, I believe that's why Paul wrote this book of 2 Corinthians, to comfort people who were considering throwing in the towel. People ready to quit, people ready who are hurting and saying, why do I need to come back to church? Why do I need to keep at this? So I want to look at three reasons that we do lose heart, and then, of course, three solutions, three answers that Paul gives us. The first reason I think Paul is aware of comes in chapter 1. Look at verse 15. He's giving a little bit of history, a little bit of background here. And he says, because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? You see, what had happened was when Paul visited Corinth, he surprised them. They didn't know he was coming, and then that whole thing kind of turned into a big conflict, right? So then the second time, he's saying, hey, I want to visit you, and then he doesn't come. How do you think the people in that church were feeling at the time? Right? Like, hey, who is this guy, Paul? He can't keep his word. He says he's going to show up at this time, and, you know, he's 5 minutes late or something like that, right? He says he's going to do something, and he doesn't. He didn't say anything, and he did it. And so they start to doubt his word. They start to doubt his trustworthiness. He says yes, yes, and no, no, talking out of two sides of his mouth. That's the accusation. You notice Paul doesn't spend a whole lot of time defending himself. He doesn't bother. He doesn't bother defending himself and saying, oh, let me tell you all the reasons why. He doesn't do that. But have you ever been disappointed by people's words? Of course you have. Have you ever, maybe purchased something, fell victim to an advertisement that looked a little too good, you know, that product that said it was going to make you live forever, or, you know, your teeth are going to be pearly white, and, oh, no, it didn't work, right? You got disappointed. This product didn't happen. I have fell victim to a Facebook scam before, right? I tried to buy something and found out, it was a scam. That's disappointing. It hurts you. I think we've all been disappointed before, maybe by a politician who made a promise and didn't quite follow through. Have you ever heard of that happening? Maybe once or twice in our world? Possibly. Anytime a football or a basketball player says, for sure, we're going to win the championship this year. Every time they do that, you're like, sure, maybe, you know, at best, maybe. Where do they get their confidence? We say, oh, sure you will. We get disappointed all the time. Family members who say one thing but do another. Family members who aren't living up to the expectation that we had, right? Imagine this. There's probably millions of people attending church right now in America, right? Millions of people. How many of them do you think show up to church and go home in some way dissatisfied, disappointed? The preacher didn't preach what I wanted him to. That person didn't say hello to me. That person didn't care about my needs. That person said, hey, we should get together sometime, and I haven't heard from him in a year. Right? So we all say things that we maybe don't follow through on. We've all been disappointed by words, by people who haven't followed through. It happens. We all have a family member like that. If you don't, it's probably you. We all get disappointed by people's words. And this is actually encouraging. Even Paul let people down, right? I mean, he couldn't be everywhere at the same time. There is no perfect person. And so I think it's easy for us to show Paul a little grace. Hey, take it easy. This is the guy who's been through persecution, and he's being, you know, missionary of the year. Like, give him a break. And yet he let people down, and that's kind of encouraging to me, right? No matter how good or perfect your pastor is, or your father, or your mother, or grandparents, they will let you down at some point because of their words. And that is part of being human. The problem is when this crushes our confidence, when we set up barriers and walls and say, I'm never trusting that person again because of this, or I'm not trusting anyone again, that's when we lose hope. That's when that root of bitterness comes up. And so what's Paul's answer? Again, he doesn't go on this tirade explaining, hey, here's what happened. He could have, but he didn't. Look at verse 18. What's his answer? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no. But in him it is always yes. He says, don't get disappointed by my failure to follow through. He says, look up and be encouraged by the promise of God. God never breaks his promises. We have the promise of God. He doesn't say yes and then, oh, sorry, no. He only says yes. Jesus is the yes. This means he is the fulfillment of the promise. Remember, when did God say he was going to rescue this world? Back in Genesis 3:15, right after Adam and Eve had messed it up, right? God said, I'm going to rescue the world way back then. Is he still in the process of doing that? Yes. Is he still going to finish it? Yes. It's not yes and no. And so when we are disappointed by people's words, we can be encouraged by the fulfillment of God's promises. He fulfilled them before, and he's going to fulfill them yet. God's promises never fail. He is the yes. We are Christians. We're supposed to be the people of hope, right? When I look on your block, when I look at in this church, when I look at Sheboygan, Wisconsin, the United States, the entire world, how are you different than the rest of the world? We're the people of optimistic, unfailing hope. That's who we are as Christians. We're the yes people, not the no people. We don't mention the gospel and then talk about all the reasons why we should be afraid because of all the bad things going on. No, we're the people of hope, the people that say, yes, God will not disappoint. God will fulfill. What's the second reason that we might lose hope? Look in chapter 2. I'll go ahead and tell you that the second reason that we can lose heart that Paul was aware of is because of enemies, right? We think outside enemies, the people against me, the people persecuting us. Our enemies can cause us to lose heart. In chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." Right? This is nothing new to you. We know Satan is the enemy, and he can discourage and dishearten us. And then in verse 17, he mentioned, "For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word." So he's talking about the false teachers that were so prevalent at that time. So who are our enemies? There's Satan. And then there's also the people who claim to be Christians. They claim to be part of the church, but they're peddling a false doctrine, a false teaching. And so they are like wolves in sheep's clothing. They are the enemies. We need to be reminded, Paul doesn't talk about the Romans in here. He doesn't talk about the soldiers who had imprisoned him. He didn't look at them as his enemies. It wasn't the politicians ruling or the governors or, you know, whoever was persecuting him. They weren't his enemies. They were his mission field. He saw them as his mission field. And so we need to think biblically according to that. When the Bible's talking about our enemy, it's talking about Satan. And also from this passage, the wolves in sheep clothing, the false Christians who divide and cause disunity. Those are the enemies. So when we served in our field of service, our third year there, we didn't really talk about this before the sermon, but we would attend a local church there. And our third year there, not while we were there, but we were about to come back to the U.S. for a two-month break during the summer. And shortly before that, we heard from one of our brothers in Christ, that the church had been raided by the police, by the authorities. And we came to the U.S. not knowing what was going to happen. It dragged on for a long time, the authorities threatening the leaders in the church. And eventually they gave a decision. And so two pastors got fired permanently and were threatened if they ever did something like that again, that they would lose their pension, lose their all their life savings. And then another pastor got dismissed, so transferred to another church. And quite frankly, the church shrunk and it was disheartened. The young people we had been working with, they were like sheep without a shepherd and just really hurting during that time. And I remember a brother asked me, he said, "Why would God allow this to happen? The enemies can discourage us. They can cause us to lose heart." So what is Paul's answer? His answer comes in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. "And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Think about those same young people that were discouraged at that time. This is a few years ago now. And now they're all over the world, all over that country, spread out. And some of them are still following God and being discipled. And so our encouragement when the enemy attacks, I would like you to imagine, what if this church had a padlock on the door and the governing authority said, "You can no longer meet"? You might be tempted to think the enemy is attacking us, the enemy is destroying us, but that's not so. I think the Apostle Paul would say, no, your mission field just got a little closer. Might be wearing a uniform. And so the answer is we don't abandon the faith. We don't get discouraged. We don't lose hope, because the answer is the ministry of the Spirit of the living God is written on your hearts. You are the church, right? And so when the enemy attacks, that does not discourage us, because like he said, It's not written with ink. Our ministry, our confidence is not in this wood pulpit or this building or, you know, celebrating Christmas with students. That's not what we put our confidence in. What we put our confidence in is the work that the Spirit is doing on human hearts. That can't be taken away. There's no governing authority that can stop the Holy Spirit from writing God's word on someone's heart. And so we don't lose heart. That was Paul's message then. That's Paul's message now, that we don't lose heart. The last reason we might lose heart is simply this. In Hebrews 12:15, it talks about the root of bitterness that would grow up in a heart. And if you don't care about that, if you don't watch out for that root of bitterness, it can defile many. Meaning, it only takes one bad apple to ruin the whole barrel. It only takes one broken heart to destroy an entire group of people. We could call this sorrow, loss, grieving, or depression. Why does God allow such suffering that some people would experience depression or loss of hope? And so the short answer to that is in chapter 4, when Paul says in verse 8 and 9, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." We can be encouraged that whatever we're going through, if it is mental or physical depression, if it's sorrow from losing something that we used to have, or losing someone that we weren't ready to say goodbye to, no matter what the discouragement is, we can be encouraged. God is working in our spirit right now, even as you go through this. It's been so uplifting to me to not ask the question anymore, why am I walking through this, God? But rather, how do you want me to walk through this, God? And so whether it's job loss, or you've lost a loved one, or you're trying to find a new career, or something is grieving you and causing loss, we can say, God, how do you want me to walk through this? God is working in us something that is better than if we did not experience that. So again, in verse 16, chapter 4, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." And so when we ask God, why is this depression, sorrow, discouragement grieving me? Why are you allowing this to happen? Part of the answer is because our inner self is being renewed day by day. And so we might lose heart because of the disappointment of people's words, but we can be encouraged. God's promises never fail. He's fulfilling them right now in our lifetime. We might be discouraged by our enemies, and I put quotation marks because there is a real enemy. Sometimes we make up our own enemies and we think our neighbor is my enemy, or my boss who's unfairly treating me is my enemy. He's not. He's your mission field. But if we're discouraged by what the enemy is doing, we can be encouraged. The lasting ministry of God will never be taken away. And then lastly, we can be discouraged by depression or discouragement, loss of any kind. As large as the loss of a loved one or chronic depression, or as small as the loss of, let me share a quick story. So we travel a lot in a lot of airports. And every time we travel, we got to make sure we have the essentials, right? Passports, suitcases, things like that, but also security blankets, at least when our kids were younger. And so we had a pile of 3 security blankets, and somebody always had the job of carrying those with them. And so we went to an airport in Thailand, and somebody, I won't name names, left the blankets on the chair, and it was time to get on the airplane. 30 minutes into the ride, we already realized that, oh no, we lost the blankets. What are we going to do? You know? Now, we're good parents, okay? We did not neglect our children. We cared for them, and we bought them new blankets. But fast forward a year and a half later, our time in Asia was done. We were coming back through Chiang Mai, Thailand, same airport. And we're in the car, and my son looks up at me, the youngest one, and he said, "So, are we going to get my blanket now?" Right? Yeah. The loss could be as serious as something that takes us years to recover from. But in his world, in his mind, that was his greatest loss. And it could be as small as that. A loss that we experience that we don't give over to the Lord, that we don't recover from, even as small as that, can cause us to lose heart. And so when we experience those losses, no matter how big or how small it is, we need to read these verses and say, the Lord is renewing the inner man day by day. Lord, how do you want me to walk through this? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for these words which encourage us and give us at least a few reasons that we should be the hopeful people for today. And just again, thank you for your word, which is perfect and sharper than any two-edged sword, and will guide us this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a love offering, and I'm just going to have you stay seated while we sing, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." So remain seated as we sing, and if, after the offering, if we haven't made the fourth verse, I'll have you stand. Okay, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing."
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we cling. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling. Let's stand and sing the fourth verse together. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now is on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Remember some of the activities that are going on this week to make sure that you're there where you'd like to plug in, and then remember to pray for the pastor and his family and the Bellins this week. Not that we just go about and forget about all these things that God has laid upon our hearts. Tim will be in the back if you have any questions. Otherwise, have a great day, and you are dismissed.